for RMM Mobile for about 15 minutes.
JT Mobile, how's it going?
To JTG, can you come back with the last three?
32 JKT, Juliet, Kilo, Tango. Didn't catch your call either. Can you come with that, Lucas?
Hello, Oscar 4, Romeo, Mike. Name is Kurt. Greenville here.
Kurt, Eric. I'm on 85, headed home from work this afternoon. What are you up to?
54, CTD Mobile.
Station, Pure 80. I don't know if you're near 85, 14, but I'm on 14, headed back toward Pelham Road, and then heading west on Pelham back to my my house after a doctor's appointment.
Got a Kurt, east of around KJ4, Charlie Tango Delta.
I don't know what happened. I think I drove past the fire department. Might have had a lot of interference there from their antenna.
On in Anderson, near 85, but I'm getting ready to go in a hole, so I'll carry on.
You're passing 29 and exit 60.
Right, he's up Pelham Road.
I wasn't totally sure, but yeah, just on my way up to Shelby, North Carolina this afternoon. I recognize the Charlie Tango Delta call. You are frequently on APRS.5, if I'm not mistaken. W2JKT.
JTKO4RMM.
Take that call, and so yeah, W2JKT, go ahead.
A minute ago, I think I dropped out, or I drove into a sector of heavy interference, and it's probably why you lost me.
I have a D710 in the car, and it seems like every time somebody's giving a call over the air is when the APRS beacon decides to go, and it blanks out the receiver, so it just seems to always happen that way.
In an area, you know, in a major hospital system with a fire department adjacent to it, I don't know if all of their signal traffic may have played a part in that.
There are a few pockets of interference along 85, too. I happen to notice that the interchange at exit 51 Woodruff, under those overpasses, there's something bleeding out a ton of RF noise, and it completely drowns this repeater out. So I have to wait until we get to the other side of it.
For TV station. And it's right there on the right as you're heading south. KJ4 CTD Mobile.
I didn't know they had a transmitter right there by the road. Is it an uplink or is it actual broadcast?
Links and crosslinks and links to wherever.
It'd be a plausible explanation.
Yeah, until recently, so I wonder if they changed something.
Anyway, ever since I can remember, and then of course you got the Paris Mountain hole that's over by Red Lobster on Wade Hampton, Pleasantburg.
That hole too. There's a morning crew every morning that we talk a bit between like 5:30 and 6:30 in the morning, and yeah, I know all the holes along 85.
So if we could plot all these reported holes and spots of interference graphically on a map.
A full repeater plot on the Blue Ridge website. I don't know if it's still there. And is how the antenna's set up and all the where you can hit it from and all that sort of stuff. And you can see the Paris Mountain hole. I don't know that we've ever plotted the interference area of the KJ4 CTD. Dave Watson would know.
They would do a Longley Rice study as well, where you could, you know, compute the anticipated propagation from a site. But that website that I used to use disappeared one day, and I've not been able to find another one that was quite as good.
Peter Committee, and I'm the guy who actually did all the plots, so I have to dig them out. It's been a long time, but I did a lot of plots from people's QDHs back to the repeater as well. A lot of good stuff in there. I don't know if I still got it.
RMM, I think that's a great idea, but that's something that would, you know, people would have to constantly update because of all of the, you know, movements of movements and emplacements and removals of antennas. Evolving situation.
Doing a Longley Rice is that you can do it on the transmitting side and just make an assumption for the receiver, and you can say, like, the receiver is going to be, you know, a unity gain antenna 1 meter off the ground, and it'll compute the propagation results, you know, based on that. You can also give it, like, a minimum receive signal, you know, field strength, and it'll calculate the coverage that way. But with that, you know, you can just make a reasonable assumption about the receiver and come up with sort of a worst-case scenario, and then you'll get a pretty decent plot from that.
Remember when I did it, which
that sort of tool would have a lot of utility for a lot of people.
Towers to do, I think it was 60 or so stations, and the stations were assumed to be at mobile height, so 6 feet, with like 5-watt transmitters at the far sites, and it's as well as I remember, I think the plot for the repeater itself is actually at its current height.
Website later and see if it's there. You know, I'd be interested to know. One thing I did notice, you know, I changed vehicles back in, I guess, October of last year, and I have a pickup truck at home, and I have the antenna, you know, properly mounted with the NMO mount. I drilled a hole in the roof, and it's a really good antenna installation. And now I'm driving an EV, and I definitely don't have an ideal antenna installation on the EV, and I definitely notice I lose quite a bit of my own, you know, my ability to receive the repeater and many others, just because of the, you know, how much poorer the installation is on my electric car. And of course, there's probably also a lot of interference from the EV itself, because of all the electronic systems. It's all high voltage, high current, so lots of emissions there.
A 97 Honda Accord, which is fairly low to the ground, and I'm running a Nagoya dual band mobile antenna, and I was wondering if there's such a thing as a spacer that could add some more height to my antenna mount on my roof of my car, KO4RMN.
And again, as far as the EVs go, ask a resident expert, Dave Watson. I know he's looked at that a lot.
Probably find something like that, but the problem is you're going to move the antenna way above the ground plane if the roof is serving as the ground plane, and it's going to alter the efficiency and radiation pattern. So I've seen little NMO screw-on ground planes for vertical antennas. But getting the extra height probably, you know, wouldn't be much benefit because you'd give back more in reduced antenna performance.
Point. I actually never thought about that. So that's going to pretty much nix that idea, KO4RMM.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that most of my EV problems are the fact that I don't really have a great ground plane for this antenna. It's a higher gain antenna than the one on my truck, but just because of the installation being not as good, you know, I get much worse reception on it.
I've enjoyed the queue, so I'm destinated back to my house, so I'm going to be 73 and clear. It's KO4RMM.
Great day. It was good meeting you. Have a great day. W2JKT.
Not turn. Dang it.
I've missed the exit from my office before and had to go all the way down to 21 and come back up. I work off of exit 27, so it's an extra 12 miles round trip if I miss my exit.
I'm at Pendleton right now, and I missed the turn to get on 76.
Oh. First here that I'm starting to lose this repeater, so I'll go ahead and say 73 to you as well, and switch over to the Shelby repeater. So good talking to you. I'll check the website later for that propagation stuff, but I'm sure I'll run into you again in this afternoon, these afternoon drives of mine. Anyway, 73, have a good day. This is W2JKT.
Okay, and are you the one that lives up on North 14? Oh, you're the Shelby one. Okay, well, you have a good afternoon. KJ4 CTD Mobile.
W2JKT clear.